Eastar. Strange memories on this nervous night in Las Vegas. Has it been 5 years? Six? It seems like a lifetime. The kind of peak that never comes again. San Francisco in the middle 60s was a very special time and place to be a part of. But no explanation. No mix of words or music or memories can touch that sense of knowing that you were there and alive. In that corner of time in the world. Whatever. There was madness in any direction. Fantastic universal sense that whatever we were doing was right. That we were winning. And that, I think, was the handle. That sense of inevitable victory over the forces of old and evil. Not in any mean or military sense. We didn't need that. Our energy would simply prevail. We had all the momentum. We were riding the crest of a high, beautiful wave. So now, less than 5 years later, we can go up on a steep hill in Las Vegas and look west. And with the right kind of eye, we can almost see the high water mark. That place where the wave finally broke and rolled back.
It has been raining a lot recently. Quick thunderstorms and flash floods. Lightning at night and fear in the afternoon. People are worried about electricity. Nobody feels safe. Fires burst out on dry hillsides, raging out of control. While dope fiends dance in the rancid smoke, and animals gnaw each other. Foreigners are everywhere, carrying pistols and bags of money. There are rumors about murder and treachery and women with no pulse. Crime is rampant, and even children are losing their will to live. The phones go dead, and power lines collapse. Whole families plunge in the darkness with no warning at all. People who used to be in charge walk around wall-eyed, with their hair standing straight up on end, looking like they work for Don King and babbling distractedly about their hearts humming like stun guns and trying to leap out of their bodies like animals trapped in bags. People get very conscious of electricity when it goes sideways and starts to act erratic. Eerie blackouts, hissing and strange shocks from the toilet bowl, terrifying power surges that make light bulbs explode and fry computer circuits that are not even plugged in. The air crackles around your head and you take a jolt every time you touch yourself. Your lawyer burns all the hair off his body when he picks up the cordless phone to dial 911. Nobody can handle electricity going amok. It is too powerful. And Franklin was never able to lock a door again after the day lightning came down his tight string and fused that key to his thumb. They called it a great discovery, and they called him a great scientist. But in fact, he bawled like a baby for the rest of his life every time he smelled rain in the air. Electricity is neutral. It doesn't want to kill you, but it will if you give it a chance. Electricity wants to go home and to find a quick way to get there, and it will. Electricity is always homesick. It is lonely. But it is also lazy. It is like a hillbilly with a shotgun and a jug of whiskey, gone mad for revenge on some enemy. Fatal attraction for sure, but he won't go much out of his way to chase the bugger down if ambush looks a lot easier. Why prowl around to make a spectacle of yourself when you can lay in wait under some darkened bridge and swill whiskey like a troll full of hate until your victim appears, drunk and careless and right on schedule? So close that you almost feel embarrassed about pulling the trigger. That is how electricity likes to work. It has no feelings except loneliness, laziness, and a hatred of anything that acts like resistance, like a wharf rat with its back to the wall. It won't fight unless it has to, but then it will fight to the death. Electricity's the same way. It will kill anything that gets in its way once it thinks it sees a way home quick. Right straight up your finger and through your heart and your chest cavity and down the other side. Anything that gives it an escape route. Anything. Iron, wire, water, flesh, ganglia. It will take it where it must go. With the efficiency of gravity or the imperative of salmon swimming upriver. And it wants the shortest route, which is not around a corner and through a muscle mass in the middle of your back. But it will go that way if it has to. Some people had to have their loose hands trapped behind them in a hammerlock with rubber cords, just to keep their hearts from exploding and their neck nerves from being fried like long blonde hairs in a meat fire when the voltage went through. But sooner or later, they learned. We all did. One way or another. One night, perhaps out of boredom or some restless angst about the fate of Carol Chessman or maybe Christine Keeler, I connected a 50,000-volt RF transformer to one end of the thin aluminum strap. Looked for makeover quench, ran around the three sides of the big classroom. And then I grounded the strap to a deep set through in a wall socket. Severe shocks resulted when the generator jumped its limiter and began cranking out massive jolts and surges of RF voltage. A 50,000-volt shock ran through my stomach, just below my navel, bring a long thin hole that I can still pull a string of dental floss through on wet nights. It was horrible, and still is. But it was also a massive breakthrough. And I will never forget the warped joy I felt when the first surge of electricity went through them. They squawked at each other and flapped their arms like chickens. My own pain was nothing compared to the elation of knowing that I just made an unspeakably powerful new friend. An invisible weapon that could turn warriors and wizards into newts. Cause them to weep.